Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 75. As always, myself, Kel Goodman.
What up?
Today, guys, we have our other business partners. You've heard about them on other podcasts. They've actually been on a previous podcast. I think it was around December or January last year. Something like that.
Later than this last year.
Yeah, something like that. So we've got Jeremy Woodard with us. Jeremy Woodhard. And then we have J.D. Levitt or John Levitt. So
John is some of you RBOs.
Yeah.
You got some.
Yeah.
Know me.
Yeah.
John, so, yeah. J.D.
We call him J.D. J.D.'s his nickname or what he usually goes by, but his professional name is John. So some of you guys have.
Jonathan.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds more distinguished, huh? The third, Jonathan the third.
You first, bro.
You're first.
Yeah.
if your new baby ends up being a boy, you're going to have Jonathan the second.
Yeah, we talked about that. Dude.
Start creating that.
John Jr.?
That was my little boy's idea.
Yeah.
So just name him John.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, who knows? I like that.
Who knows, man?
I can get down on that.
Yeah.
John Jr.?
JJ.
So yeah, some of you guys have spoke with John, if you've ever got a quote from Easier Accounting in regards to bookkeeping, you know, tax prep, payroll, whatever. John does all of the discovery calls for us at Easier Accounting, basically getting to know your situation a little bit better and, you know, puts a proper quote together on what we can do to service you based upon what your needs are. So some of you guys are familiar with him. Some of you guys might not be. Some of you guys may be in the near future, hopefully.
Yeah.
Reaching out to us and seeing what we can do to help on the accounting side of things. But today's podcast is basically kind of like an owner's mastermind. So last year we were in Malibu, California. And we did the exact same thing. We talk about things that we can improve on. And the idea is to get away from kind of the hustle and bustle of the day-to-day hustle of business, right? Because when you're in the office, there's a lot of issues and problems coming at you on a day-to-day basis, employees with questions or whatever. So it's really hard to have the ability to free think on things that you need to plan ahead and streamline in your business. So what we do is we get away, you know, once a year, and we're making this kind of an annual thing where we rent a nice house, Airbnb, at a different spot, location where we can enjoy ourselves, relax a little bit and free think and kind of mastermind a little bit and plan out where we're weak and what we can do to improve upon things. And so, you know, that's what we're going to do during this podcast. So you guys are actually going to be able to listen in on this mastermind. You know, we thought it would be cool for you guys to take an inside look instead of us just talking about being away and doing a mastermind. You guys can overhear us, you know, on how we basically create a master plan for things that we need to do better. And how we can improve our business, because I think not enough people focus on improving their business. They focus on just the day-to-day hustle of their business. And so we think it's important to educate you guys to take time out of your guys' life in order to plan for your future and plan to, you know, grow your business and or improve your business, you know?
Yeah, last summit, last partner retreat summit, mastermind, whatever it is, was kind of more focused around just internal systems and processes, handling fulfillment a little bit better.
Yep.
I know this one's going to be geared more around systemizing our marketing processes as well, because we've done a lot of things really well as far as just, you know, grabbing attention, grabbing, you know, leads, getting people coming through the door, but we haven't really fine-tuned it. And so that's kind of what this year's all about, is mapping out what we're going to do to systemize and nail down our marketing a little bit more.
And there's a lot of things that I think that we do great, but, you know, or good, you know, but they say good is the enemy of great, right? So even if your business is good and you're doing well, that doesn't mean that there's not another level that you could ultimately reach, provided you actually stepped away from the business and you thought about the business and you put an action plan together, because thoughts are great. I think we've all had thoughts of, hey, man, this would be great if we implemented this, or if we did this, or follow up here, or email marketing this, but nothing ever gets done because all it does is remain a thought, you know, and we don't really put action plans together and things like that. When you just have a thought, it's a cool thought, but then it comes and it goes, you know, and then nothing ends up happening with it.
I think the emphasis was for 2019 going into 2020 was taking care of the customer and fulfillment, right? That was the emphasis. And then COVID hit. That threw things off for a few months.
Yeah.
But overall, I think we implemented pretty well. You guys have done a good job with Easier and with NextGen. And And now I think it's time to start to grow on that foundation.
Force growth.
Yeah.
Not just let what's coming to us come to
us.
Right. And just grow, you know, as organically as we possibly can. Look, you know, we're great in a lot of areas. Our credit repair company depends on Facebook. We generate, you know, 1,000 leads a week there with our marketing campaigns. But, you know, accounting is a whole different animal in terms of, you know, trying to create, you know, leads and things like that. With an accounting company, it's far more competitive, and you definitely have to get creative, and you can't miss a step. You know, I think, again, we've done a good job of systemizing the back end in terms of fulfillment, and fulfillment's kind of dialed in, and, you know, it's now time to turn up the marketing. But, guys, the idea is you don't just turn up the marketing. Me and Kel talked about this. You don't just turn up marketing without having a system in place that where you can follow up or stay in front of people. Why would you spend $5,000 a month or $10,000 a month to sit there and generate leads, and all you're doing is kind of the one call closes or whatever, and it's very difficult, right? You know, if the average client takes 2 to 3 months to sign up because they want to shop it around or they want to think about it, it's a big decision. It's not just a spur of the moment thing, right, where you make an on the spot, yes, I'm going to switch everything I do over to you, which can be, you know, somewhat of a process. And so that's why people take time to think about it.
Yeah.
But the idea is how can we stay in front of them for that 3 months? Why they're still, you know, going through the decision-making process? What more value could we bring to them over that, to where we stay in front of them and we're top of mind so that they choose us over somebody else potentially? And that's things that you guys should also be thinking about when you're listening to this. There's plenty of other competitors in your industry, and the idea is, what can you do better? What can you do to streamline things? What can you do to be top of mind
and stand out
when that decision finally is made, right? Whether it takes 1 month or 3 months or 6 months before they transition over to choosing you to do business with. And so,
yeah, and I think that we do a pretty good job. I mean, once we get someone in our ecosystem, in our, you know, they meet with you,
right. We
follow up with them, we have schedules as far as when we check back in on them, we do all these things. But as far as our marketing goes, our digital side of things, we don't really have our retargeting on point. We don't have a lot of things on
email
point
marketing
to where we're staying in front of them that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who have come to our website, they've clicked on one of our ads, they've maybe gotten one of our emails, but we haven't really been hitting our follow-up online. And so that's kind of what we need to build the foundation on. So no matter whether they're a call-in and you grab their email in the system, whether they, you know, hit our one of our emails and click the link, whether they come to our website organically, whether they come in off of an ad through social media, we need to make sure that we are tagging those people and follow them around with the retargeting. Because, you know, like we talked about in one of our other masterminds, it's like, you know, 20% of your sales are going to come off of your initial marketing.
Yeah.
80% of your sales are going to come off of follow-up, you know? And so we got to get that retargeting on point.
It's the same in sales too.
Yeah.
It's the same, like if you're a sales rep and you're making phone calls, you know, your follow-up game, that they say that's the FU money, right? Follow-up money, right?
I buy off retargeting ads all the time, dude. Like, you know, I guess I saw some shorts that I liked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, those are cool, right? But I swipe them off because, you know, I don't like to just buy every ad that's put in front of my face, right? But then other companies, and I see their shorts, and then I realize, I'm like, man, I need a few more shorts. I notice when I go out of town and I'm packing my workout shorts, I'm kind of getting low on them, and I don't want to obviously wear the same workout shorts twice. And so I'm like, man, I need to get a couple more. Well, sure shit, that retargeting ad pops up in front of my face, you know?
And the thing
when
is,
I'm sitting
and
on
the
toilet
thing is,
watching my phone, whatever, I get that retargeting
ad,
and I'm like, I need to just pull the trigger. I've been thinking about going down to Dick's and buying some new shorts.
Exactly.
I like these ones. I'm just going to buy them right here. They're right here in front of my face again.
Yeah.
Right? And so I need to buy a couple shorts.
In some cases, you don't catch people when they're in a buyer mode.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
exactly.
even if you thought those were cool, maybe that was a day that you already had spent a bunch of money. You're like, you know, I don't want to spend money again right now. I just spent $10,000 on X or whatever it was, right? And then a week later or 2 weeks later, you're maybe back into buyer mode again, you know? So it's a matter of staying in front of people when they're ready to make the decision. And that's what happens.
It happened to me the other day. You know, my anniversary's on Monday. And so what pops up on Instagram is a shirt that says best husband ever. And then it gives reasons why I'm the best husband, you know?
Yeah.
And
you're
it just
born
happened
in January.
To be. Yeah.
That's subliminal messaging to his lady. So,
we've actually talked about, I don't know if our phones can obviously hear us because of Siri, you know? Right. Can they actually hear us and target keywords that we're talking about in our conversation?
So.
Because
I
things pop
so.
Up randomly, you know?
I think about stuff and it pops up. It stresses me out. I'm like, come on.
Man, I could use a new pair of shoes. And all of a sudden, the new pair of shoes shows up on the freaking timeline. So,
well, real quick, I wanted to follow up too. Like seasons, I think marketing can be broken out into seasons too, right? So online retailers going into the shopping season of Christmas and stuff, that's a big time to get pushing traffic, you know?
Yeah.
But remember, the costs are going to be up as well.
The competition's probably going to be up. Everybody's marketing during that season.
It's getting down to the end of the year.
And look at this year
coming up. Yes. So, you know, accounting firms are going to be spending money on, you know, marketing. Trying to... you know, solidify new clients and things like that.
Yeah. But quarter four is a big deal for
and then every 2 to 4 years we have elections. This year's the big election, right? So there's a lot of ads running too, and so we're competing with that. And our lead cost has gone up with 60-day credit repair a bit, but just things to keep in mind. And then summer slows down a bit, you know, and easier accounting. We're going into
It's great to compete during, you know, all the ad time when ads are hot, right? But we got to have our follow-up on game to stand out.
Absolutely.
Whether it's emails throughout the year, whether it's the retargeting, whether it's a phone call, like building it into our ecosystem to make sure.
Text messages.
That's what brings the cost back down, right? Because our conversions, obviously, to client are the aim, are the goal. And so, you know, like if we're paying a premium to get those people through the door, you know, we got to follow up with them for as long as it takes. I mean, it's just like sales. Sales is marketing. Marketing is sales. It's you know, you're overcoming X amount of no's before you get that yes.
Well, it's like dating, right? So a lot of people they're wanting to make the right decision on who's going to be keeping track of their income and expenses. They don't want to be jumping from one person to another and, you know, happen to get reacquainted.
They want to make sure they're making the right choice. Yeah.
So I think just having something that is it's useful, you know, good accounting advice throughout the year. Obviously, that's good reminders for them to get that monkey off their back, you know, actually get a good system in place and whatnot. So email drips, you know, that were actually helpful, you know, good advice, good tools, you know, anything applies to a business owner. Any accounting tip can apply to somebody that pays taxes. Mm-hmm. So,
I think those are good points that you guys brought up, like building lists, like email lists, you know, because you don't have marketing costs once you have the email address.
Yeah,
you can continually market to them. So that'll bring down some costs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to build it.
So let's jump right into kind of just masterminding just a little bit. You know, we brought them up to speed on what we're trying to accomplish marketing-wise and help them understand why it's important. So now let's kind of jump into what some of our thoughts are. Obviously, you know, content creation for us is a big deal. You know, that's something that that we rely on pretty heavily in terms of, one, giving out great information. That's what I think a lot of people do that terribly in terms of content creation. Their content creation are very ad formatic, right? Like, hey, we'll create this content so that we can push an ad. So it's just an ad. Rather than like, how can we create content that's valuable to where we can really attract people and just give away value? And I think people hoard the value that they have because they don't want to give away their value for nothing. You know, in reality, it's
exactly.
give, and then you know, people are going to know you, like you, and trust you, and then want to do business with you. And so I think that that's something that we already do very, very well. You know, we just hired another videographer that's going to start you know, in the next week or two, so that we can kind of double down this next year on content creation, and not necessarily just for real business owners, but for easier accounting, for 60-day credit repair, wherever we can, you know, utilize these individuals and their talents to help us get our messages out, help other people, make a positive impact on other people. Because at the end of the day, if we make a big enough positive impact by giving good information and being genuine about it, we're going to eventually earn that person's business. That's just the way that the world works, right? And so the idea is to figure out how we can systemize our content creation and get it out to our customers, you know, on a month-to-month basis, and just stay in front of them. And, you know, there's been plenty of you guys that have listened, that have taken information from us and applied it to your business that's worked, and you've been more successful because of it, and we don't even do business with you. You know, but you're utilizing the information that we give you to benefit yourself. I'm sure at one point or another, when you decide to seek a different option outside of your current accountant, we're probably going to be at the top of your mind, because you already know that we own Easier Accounting. Or if you need credit repair, we're going to be top of mind. Why? Because we're giving you good information. That's why. Where it's just programmed in, you know? So that's one thing that we're challenging you guys to do, is to do a better job of that. So
Real quick on that, there, you know, there's compelling evidence that psychologically, you know, people are more willing to buy from you because you've given to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like if someone's always giving you stuff, at some point you want to return the favor and kind of level up or even up with them, right?
It's almost like a Christmas gift.
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody gives you a Christmas gift, you feel bad if you don't give something else back.
Yeah. Right.
So you go out and get a Christmas gift and you reciprocate the gift.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the same concept here. So what are we going to do moving forward? You know, what's the plan starting January 2021? Because we have a couple months, obviously, to start implementing some of this shit. You know, Kel brought up a good point about, you know, each one of us taking on some email content. You know, there's four of us. There's 12 months in a year. We would only have to each do three, you know, per year if we're each doing it.
Of course,
you know?
It says 24.
24.
One every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever.
So, yeah, but still, it's not a lot.
That's a great idea.
Six
like
emails.
Many hands lightens the workload. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
And we are busy. We all got a lot going on. And so it's like, you know, why don't we take our topics? Why don't we take our clips, the videos, the things that we film, which we can strategize on around, you know, the audience that we want to go after. But once they're done and we have the video and we watch the video, it's a lot easier to go ahead and write the content to the video, right? Based on the topic and what we filmed. And so, you know, it's like, hey, Jeremy, here's the video this month. Here's a video on this topic or that topic, or here's your three that need to be done by this time. Here's your three, here's your three, here's my three, right? And we all just kind of spread that workload. It's pretty easy. Corey brought up a good point, too, about, you know, utilizing, you know, Trello and putting deadlines on each one because they got to go out at a certain time. Like, we've got to be a little bit more scientific about
it. So what's Trello?
Trello is just a work board.
So basically, you can assign a task to an individual with a deadline. It's almost like a homework assignment.
Yeah, what's the other one? What's the other big app?
Asana.
Asana's good.
Trello. I downloaded Trello. It is pretty easy to navigate. And then in Slack, we can share Trello boards right within it. So if we create just our partnership,
chat.
Just us group in there, our marketing group, head of the company in there, and assign these tasks out, then we have deadlines. We know when they are. We can do them in our spare time, you know, in between our appointments, in between our regular duties. But I know it's like we all get busy. We all have things going on, families, work, and our duties within the company. But to take, you know, an extra hour, 2 hours out of the month to complete a task that's helping the greater good is totally worth it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Just
so real quick.
Task, scheduled it out.
Should we... You said assign a topic. Is this, do we want to do that, or do we want to, as we read books and stuff, do we want to come up with our own and then present it to the group and say, hey, is this okay? Does this go along with our ultimate
I think
goal?
Either or.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad to, I think pretty much like when you're writing a book, you outline your chapters first. I think it would be smart of us to outline the topics. Mm-hmm. And if we come up with other topics outside of that, then great. Like, I'm 100% for organically coming up with content, but I don't think that that's the way that we rely on it.
Yeah.
You know, we can't rely on us organically, like, just, hey, let's all, we need to come up with topics, but we're not going to come up with topics. Let's all individually leave and then do, you know, the idea is to really map it out. I think it would be smart
now. Let's have a framework.
I think right now it would be good for us to come up with at least, if there's 24 topics, let's come up with 12 right now. You know,
one thing we think
that would be good.
At least
knock out half of it.
One thing that I think is important too is not having like so many hands in trying to move the content, right? Like one thing I talked about with Corey is like, hey man, like if we need to build a little team underneath you that you delegate things to make sure they're done and it's systemized, like, you know, to where we're hitting all channels, like we don't need like Jeremy saying, hey, I'll do LinkedIn and John's like, I'll do Facebook. I mean, we need to make sure, like, you know, that we have, all we're doing is writing the content, creating the content. Our marketing head is the one that's distributing it.
Right.
You know, he's the one that's hitting the buttons and making sure it goes live in these channels at the right time of the day, the peak hours. Like, we have that data, right? We know when the right time is to post on Facebook, Instagram, you know, YouTube. We implement things maybe like text messages and other areas. There's YouTube, you know, all of them, right? Just all of them, all the big marketing channels, Google, AdWords, whatever it is. But I don't think that any of us have the time really to be like, oh, I'm going to take on this
project,
this big duty, right?
Yeah.
Like, we already brought Corey on to do that,
right?
You know, and so we've pulled him in all these different directions. It's now time to like systemize him. Hey, first 4 hours of the day, dude, you're taking this content. We've already created it, topics. JD's content's in, Jeremy's content's in, Trevor's mine, and then boom, he manages it from there, from the email list to dropping into the social platforms mm-hmm. and the other platforms, search platforms.
Yeah.
You know, and so mm-hmm. I think that's important too. And same thing. I mean, one thing we got to do is systemize that with you know Austin and his crew with the videos and the editing to get that to us in time, and then get it over to Corey in time in order to make those things happen, right? So, because I think that's where we've kind of lacked, right? It's kind of like Trev's pushed a lot on Instagram. Corey started doing some stuff with YouTube. Then Austin was like, "Well, I'll take over and do the YouTube." I think we need to have like our marketing head just be like, give me the content, let me do my thing.
So I mean, this is where we might want to build a team, like you were saying, where we need people underneath Corey so we can just push content, right? Mm-hmm. I think that may be the emphasis for this year, is content creation. So, because to be able to deliver that consistently and good content, you know, we need a team, you know? And so that'll be good.
So just as we've, you know, let's jot down some ideas in terms of, you know, some topics that we think that would be good topics, just so people can hear, you know, us coming up with specific topics. And, you know, at the end of this, guys, you know, we would prefer you guys to watch this on YouTube. So if you're listening to it right now on iTunes or Spotify or whatever it is, you might want to go back and re-listen to this episode and watch it, on YouTube. And at the end of that, we're going to put a link in the bio that's going to give you kind of a breakdown. What would we call it?
A template type breakdown of
what we've discussed. And maybe this template could help you guys systemize some things, just how we try to systemize things in terms of how we break it down and how we come up with new ideas or concepts. Mm-hmm. So
we'll share our
it's kind of a value
schedule,
add,
like
you
a
know.
Template.
Yeah, content, schedule, things like that, just so that you guys can kind of see how we're doing it. You guys can take the information and do whatever you want with it. You can run with it. You can copy it. You can do nothing with it, whatever you want to do. But, you know, the idea is to really, you know, listen, absorb good information, and then try to figure out a way to utilize it in your business.
Yeah, so, have some tools, right?
Yeah,
have the tools
exactly.
that you need.
Yeah.
This one definitely will have a lot more value visually, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, 24 topics, you know, if we're dropping two pieces of content per month just to stay in front of people, obviously the idea is one, valuable content, not just dropping content, just making it content. Like, there's one thing, and some people do a terrible job, like, hey, let's stay in front of them, and then you just stay in front of them with garbage shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not really bringing them value, you're trying to bring yourself value by just purely marketing to them twice a month, rather than just giving good information twice a month that benefits
value.
Benefits the end user,
yeah.
Right? And it's been there's been plenty of research done that you usually don't just drop an offer, you know, every single time. What is it, like 7-1 or something like that?
Yeah.
Like give seven times.
That's exposure too.
And then you can do a call to action because now you've given enough to where you have earned the right, so to speak, to have a call to action. In other words, the call to action means, you know, some sort of offer. That's a call to action. You're reaching out to them and saying, hey, this is the offer that I have available to you now. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of it. That's what's considered a call to action if you're not familiar with that term in terms of marketing. So
one thing too, it's as far as topics go, I mean, this is stuff that we need to make sure that we're dropping fresh, new things to our already clients in their email address.
Exactly.
Right? And we're giving them those reminders throughout the year as well. And to obviously just stay in front of them and also know that we're providing value to them, you know, because and that actually brings up probably the first best topic that we could probably write about is reminders. I mean, in the accounting world, one of the biggest things that we run up against is people being like, dude, I never hear from my accountant, right? Like most firms aren't
proactive.
Doing anything. They're not proactive. They're not digitally or verbally, right? There's no reminders.
It's a once a year event. As people call it, you know, they're saying, you know, I don't really interact with him until deadline's coming
or her.
Up. Or
so
her.
Topic
that's BPC.
Is a question.
Yeah, exactly.
Is your accountant, is your CPA dropping you reminders throughout the year, right? Is he communicating with you, especially in those big dates? Because in accounting, like, there's not just, for business anyway, there's not just one big deadline. There's multiple, right?
Plenty.
And whether it's quarterly things, whether it's quarterly planning, whether it's initial first of the year planning, end of the year planning, middle of the year check-ins, right? Like, what is your accountant doing to be proactive? And so that's probably a good topic is, you know, reminders and check-ins.
So that's what I have as a topic number one, just generic or whatever, the tax deadlines, right. Making sure that they're familiar with it. And then also the implications if they don't do it in that time frame. Right. You know, there's certain the consequences or whatever that fall after that deadline. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if there's, you know, a company that has multiple partners, what's the deadline there? Is it like March 15th on what entity structure that? And then after that, it's like $250 a person fine per month or something per partner.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that could be a whole quick topic on its own because most LLCs that have multiple people involved in them are a partnership. Yeah, right? Yeah. And the partnership tax return is actually a harder tax return than a corporate tax return.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's definitely harder than a solo, just Schedule C, you know, LLC or sole proprietorship return as well. And so partnerships they have to be filed on the corporate deadline of March 15th instead of April 15th. And they're $200 per month per partner for every month that it's late.
Yes.
Right? So if you're filing in October, how many months later?
If you're us and you have four partners, that's $800 a month times, you know, 10 months late or something, you know, that's $8,000.
Right. Yeah.
You know what
just
I mean?
Just penalties.
Exactly.
Right? Not interest, penalties.
Yeah. Penalty, yeah. So, do they do interest on top of that?
Yeah.
So I mean, you could be pushing 10 grand 10 months.
We're talking about the IRS. They're not. Yeah. They're not even nice to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
But,
as he stated last night.
I mean, I experienced this, and I think all of us to some degree this year. You know, with everyone was made the priority over us. You know, in our accounting company.
Yeah.
And
that's how it should.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's like,
put our customers before us.
Why am I not on top of my books more? You know, and that's my objective this next year is to make sure that I'm organized more so because it's a pain in the butt to come up on a deadline and to have all that pressure on you. And that's all I could do for the last couple of weeks was just get my books in order. You know, so organization is important. And
topic three is your accountant involved in the organization.
Yeah.
Right? Is he helping you create and stay on top of that throughout the year? I tell people a lot on my stage presentations or networking events.
One thing
our job
really
is to help hold you accountable for you know your accounting, right? Because there's
just
only
so
much we can
only
do what you're
do.
Giving us, right?
You know,
we can only do what you're bringing to us. So if you're not bringing it to us, we can't help you. And so what we're doing is we're hacking the system a little bit we're not just waiting for you like most accountants. We're actually helping hold you accountable. So is your accountant helping hold you accountable?
Yeah. And why that's so important.
And dude, honestly, I mean, most
we all need accountability, dude. Like I don't care who you are.
We do.
Especially even people that are living super busy lives, dude. Like, you're so, again, deep in your own shit that time just flies by in some cases. Next thing you know, it's the end of the year. You're like, holy shit. You know, but if you would have had those calls or emails or something throughout the year where your accountant's kind of holding you accountable, hey, we need to do this. Now it's this time of year. You need to be focused on this. And that's something that we can definitely improve on as well, which is the whole purpose of this. So... I also have audit risks per entity and what triggers
those top
reasons of audits, right? What triggers an audit, you know? So there's information like, for instance, so you have your SIC codes, right? Your standard industrial classification when you start a business, right? Mm-hmm. Or your NAICS code, North American Industrial Classification System. Mm-hmm. So this identifies the industry that you're in, right? And so let's say, for instance, you're in the restaurant industry. All of the restaurants have the same SIC code because it labels them, they're a restaurant.
Industry. Yeah.
That's their industry.
Right.
And restaurants typically have a large food expense. Right? So if an industry that doesn't normally have a large food expense has a large food expense and they look at that SIC code and they're like, wait, the average company in this industry only spends $100,000 a year in food expense, but this company's spending $500,000 a year in food expense and they're not a restaurant.
Something's up.
What the hell's going on? That's going to trigger an audit. So what happens is each SIC code or in other words, each industry has their normal expenses. Mm-hmm. And anything that shoots off abnormally outside of those normal industry expenses can cause a audit.
Right.
And so that's actually, how they have a program and a system in the IRS that they, it's all automated. Yeah. They check the SIC code. It's the algorithm. Yeah.
That's what it's for. And you'd be surprised on how many people call me.
Yeah.
Or all of us. And they're like, well, my accountant just told me to run it under the same LLC. It's like, what?
Yeah, the same. Why different industry.
Why are you trying to run your insurance sales, you know, broker
under your consulting,
business, under your newly,
not a great idea,
you know, exactly. Side hustle construction company,
exactly,
or lawn service or maintenance service, you're gonna have higher insurance costs, like, yes, you're gonna have all these different things that you're now blending. It doesn't make sense,
and it can trigger an audit.
That's the point, so is separation,
you know.
And you set up,
you know, for instance, an S corp, if you're not running personal payroll from an S corp, S corps are required to pay themselves a fair and reasonable salary. So if you do an S-Corp tax return and there's no salary on that S-Corp, that can trigger an audit. This is information that we can utilize to our advantage and help educate people, just like we're doing right now on the podcast.
We have stories now, too, as we fine-tune these topics. It's like, it's not that hard for us to pull together stories of either clients or experiences or things that we've had. And, you know, we obviously don't drop names or personal information, but we create a story. Hey, we had a client come to us and all this happened and this was the mess and this was that, right? And then we jump into, you know, in our content, when we start writing for each one of these topics, you know, we tell the little story first, right? Yeah. Then we jump into the solution.
Relatability is important. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you think of operating agreements? You know, we're sitting here four dudes that run several companies together. You know, everyone needs to know their expectations and things like that. So,
duties, outlined duties,
yeah,
outlined
duties.
Like that.
What you know, what you're going to be doing, what I'm going to be doing.
I think that's a great topic.
I think a lot of people,
important.
Yeah, they're quick to, you know, join forces, but you know, I think that's something good to have in place.
I like that topic.
So,
what about what is your basis? Because you know, we talked about homeboy up in Salt Lake that owns the funding company. His accountant didn't capture his basis, so he was going to overpay in taxes by like $200,000.
Right.
And so educating people on what your basis is and what it means, because when some people look at putting money into a business, they're like, oh, I've got to put $50,000 into that business or $10,000 into that business. And they think that maybe that money's just gone because they're spending it. But when the business makes money, you could take out that $50,000 tax free. Mm-hmm. And that's what's considered or known as your basis. But each year your basis changes. The more money that you keep in your business or the more profit that you make, if you take out 100% of your profits, your basis will probably stay the exact same for the most part. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to set like a goal of having $100,000 in the business bank account and you keep an extra $25,000 per year in, you're paying taxes on that $25,000 that you're keeping in the business.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
So your basis actually continues to grow. Each year it can change. And some people, I don't think, understand that. They just think it's the initial money that they put in. And I think that's why they take so much money back out of their business at the end of the year, which hurts them long term because they don't want to pay taxes on money that that's not in their bank account. They don't want to pay taxes on something that's in the business account. So they rape the business of the profits and they're not growing an actual reserve account. To properly grow and run their business because they don't want to pay tax on money that they're not touching. But it's super cool because it's almost like a built-in savings account. Eventually, you can take that money. It won't, you know, whether it's 5 years down the road or 10 years down the road, if you eventually put $100,000 per year in that you paid tax on, that's sitting in your business bank account, 10 years, that's $1,000,000. You've already paid all your taxes on it. That's your basis. You can take that full million out and you don't owe any taxes on it anymore, right? And so your basis changes all the time.
I think doing a whole topic on basis is smart, it leads in right into another topic right after that, which is ignorance. Being ignorant with your accounting. Because, dude, that happens all the time. People don't know what their basis is. They double pay on their taxes on something they've already paid on because they choose to stay ignorant, right?
Yeah.
So how are you going to solve that problem for you? Are you going to communicate with your accountant more?
Yeah.
Are you going to check in with them more? Yeah. Are you going to set monthly or quarterly meetings with your accountant to make sure these things aren't happening to you, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to whatever we talked about earlier.
back to that thing. You know that thing?
Yeah, that thing. You know.
The once a year event?
Yeah, jump in.
Yeah, go ahead. Think we should reach out, do a guest opportunity for like our previous Tony.
Right.
A Kai or a, what was it?
Kasai.
Tony
Kasai.
That's a shout out to you, Tony.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, me too.
Like this 24, we can start to leverage this and go out to our network. Mm-hmm. And say, if you guys want to do a guest post, we will provide you a backlink, which, by the way, pro tip for marketing, that gives them an SEO property or opportunity to be able to...
organically rank higher, yeah.
So we don't have to do all 24 ourselves if we can do that, but maybe we could reach out to Tony. I can get him on the phone. And I can ask him questions, and then I can have it transcribed, posted on it.
I think that's a good idea to actually reach out to a few people. You know, we can reach out to, like, anybody that we know. Like, there's Quentin that's in the insurance industry and say, hey, dude, you can write a piece on the most common thing that you see entrepreneurs missing in insurance or merchant accounts or Brecken or...
Yeah, Tony, all that. That's really smart.
Yeah.
But I actually did want to talk about, too, on top of marketing... And I don't know if we do it right now or not, but I did want to talk about how we start implementing some of those things into our tax planning process. Like, dude, it's crazy. Nobody, now that I've been talking about it more about the R&D credits, like nobody does it.
Nobody does it.
Literally. Only 5% of the big companies actually do it. And so I'm like, why don't we make that part of our process? Like, hey, dude, as part of our tax plan?
Yeah.
We're actually going to do your amended review. We're going to do, which is a whole other topic, right? Mm-hmm. Let's write about tax planning, right?
Right.
But like, let's implement.
The importance of tax planning. Yeah.
Let's implement, like, tax planning shouldn't always be just end of the year, final quarter shit, dude.
No.
It shouldn't, because you can't go back now and write yourself all the right checks for the August rule. You can't go back now and start paying your kids for all the previous months and, you know, all the
wish
things
I
that
would've.
We start. Yeah, all the wish you would've, exactly. And so I think... tax planning is something we can write a lot of content on and doing it initially. Does your accountant tax plan with you ahead of time? Does he also look at things that most accountants don't know about, like R&D credits? Everybody thinks R&D credits are for labs and people
bigger
that literally go out and do research and development and they have a whole division for research and development when you are researching
your
company.
You're wearing that hat.
You are doing all this testing to the marketplace and internally in your companies, and you can get some of that money back, and it's substantial money.
Substantial.
Tens of thousands of dollars people are getting back because they're going back and looking at it. So we're creating such a huge loyalty factor if we actually take our tax plan and not only save them money on their amended reviews and go get it for them, and then implement strategies moving forward on how to save them money and so that they don't miss these things anymore, but then also getting them the R&D tax credits. Because that's something they can start doing every year now, not just back a few years, right?
Wow.
And so if we actually implement that as part of the tax plan, huge amount of value there.
Huge.
We make a little bit of money off of it. They get money immediately that more than pays for our service for years, right? And so I think that was something.
I think it's just the right thing to do. Like exhaust all options for the customer.
Right.
You know, don't just focus on one area where they can get money back. Focus on all areas.
Right.
I think, honestly, we could probably do the importance of tax planning as several topics throughout the year.
Right.
You know, like almost twice a year or something.
Why
or
you
quarterly.
Wait till the end
you
of the
know,
year.
Like, exactly.
Why you shouldn't put it off. Why you should do it in the beginning
like,
of the
if
year.
It's
common. The year.
If it's that important.
A lot of people do.
If it's that important.
Hell, Jeremy
we need
does.
To hammer the point.
Well, put enough.
You know what I mean? Like
enough. The record keeping, bookkeeping.
Oh, but, sorry. I wasn't speaking on your behalf.
I do a good job with it, bro. I ain't lying.
Good job.
Well, my wife does.
Will you guys bring me along?
But for real, if something's super important like tax planning, we believe in it so much, we need to hammer the point home. Not to beat a dead horse or anything, but if it's that high level of importance where it's actually putting money back in the customer's pocket, we're doing them a disservice by not continuing to hammer that point home of how important it is, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that benefit from it. They're the ones that win from it. Of course, we want to earn somebody's business, but we want to see people win. And when people are winning, by default, we'll win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if we're the freaking bearer of good news and we're finding them all this money that's left on the table. You know, I guarantee you there's people listening right now that have thought about doing a tax plan or wondered if they're, you know, overpaying in taxes, but they haven't pulled the trigger yet on actually paying somebody to do a tax plan and review what they have paid and what they qualify for that they're not taking advantage of.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys right now, if you guys, and it is fourth quarter, you know, so if you guys have thought about working with us and doing a tax plan, I'm telling you right now, is a perfect time to do it. You have several months left in the year to execute whatever the plan is that we create. Right. And it buys you the time to execute. Don't wait till December or whatever it is. Right. And then you have 3 weeks left to hurry and freaking cut your kids a check because it's you hire your kids or whatever. And that's another topic.
That's the one I had written down.
Was the importance of tax planning or hiring your kids?
And a year for me, and this is specifically for me, is you kind of know where you're going to be at by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And so
you have data at this point. You have 3/4 of data. You can project out a little bit easier for that.
So we've taken advantage of Section 179 a lot, you know, over the last several years, buying trucks, SUVs and stuff, you know, equipment. It's an equipment deduction. And it's been really good, man.
I know so, that $100,000 Escalade piece of equipment.
Well, we got a
hell of a write-off.
So we ordered
that house on wheels.
A Tesla, you know, the Model X. Yeah. And apparently we can deduct that as well. So
right. So now you're going to have the Model
instead
X
of paying
and
the IRS,
Escalade?
Might as well buy a new
car.
Shit,
dog. Yeah. Somebody's living a good life over there, huh?
Well, you have a nice truck, too.
My truck's all right. It gets me around.
it is important for people to understand the difference between a tax deduction and a tax credit.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Like with the R&D thing, like people are writing off research and development costs, but they don't understand they get a credit for it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You can do both.
I think it'd be great to have Tony help us write some content for that on the difference between a deduction and a credit.
Agreed.
The difference between that.
Agreed.
We can sneak a lot in there about R&D credits on a topic for tax planning, but we could also do a whole other topic on the difference between deductions and credits.
That might be good.
An idea for another topic is what you were telling me, Kale, about being able to go back and do amended reviews, especially this year for businesses who have the carryover for the loss of going back and doing amended.
Right now, because of COVID, they brought something back they haven't done in years, the IRS did, because to help relieve businesses for the COVID-19, you can actually, if you have a loss this year in 2020, you can actually go and amend your 2018 taxes back when you had a better year and you paid a lot more in taxes with your losses from 2020.
Carry back.
And you can carry those deductions back and amend that tax return to get some of that money back when you paid in past taxes.
That's super interesting.
So it's almost like another little funding source, right? So that's
I believe that you can spread it out between multiple years.
So if
for instance, your business, COVID, because you got hit with COVID and you're still paying rent, but you're not able to bring in money, or whatever, your P&Ls aren't going to look good. You might show a loss this year of 50 grand or 100 grand. And then you look back at last year, you're like, holy shit, my income put me in this tax bracket. Now I'm paying higher taxes over here. So maybe I'm going to take this 100 grand loss for this year and carry it back 2 years and put 50 grand loss on this return. And then the previous year, another 50 grand loss, helping reduce those tax brackets and getting more money back each year. Or you could put it on 1 year, and an accountant should be able to take that and apply it to 1 year and split it into multiple years to see which year, how you should do it, which would benefit you the most. Because maybe doing it all on 1 year and completely jumping down 2 or 3 different tax brackets by taking 100 grand loss on 1 year might be a bigger benefit than taking 50 and 50, because you maybe only drop down one tax bracket on each one of those years rather than 2 or 3. So 1 year might be more beneficial. It might not, but that's the importance of, you know, talking to the right person and having the right accountant actually work out both of those scenarios.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of Trump and his tax returns. He gets criticized all the time for his returns, but he's playing the game just like every business owner wants to play the game, right? To maximize benefit for themselves. It's ridiculous that he gets criticized, for playing within the rules.
We're trying not to be political.
Who wants to pay more?
I'm not endorsing Trump. I'm just kidding.
But
I mean, we should be critical of job creators, right? The more money that we can save, the more people we can employ, the better the economy is, right? It's got a ripple effect on it.
The more we can pay our employees.
Exactly.
Promotions, opportunities.
Even though it is a little bit political, you can talk about that kind of stuff. That's value for business owners.
Well, it also piques interest. Like, how does somebody that, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that's
a whole other topic. Yeah. Even on top of, like, the NACIS codes and how that can strike audits is, should you fear audits because of amendments? Like, dude, if you need the money from deductions this year from having a bad year and you do the carryback thing,
bro,
the number one thing their accountants are going to tell them, and I'm sorry, but if your accountants tell you you shouldn't amend your old returns because it can strike an audit, you have a shitty accountant.
Yeah.
Because you should always have a case to argue if an audit does occur. You can get an audit for no damn reason.
Exactly.
If you're going to live in fear for a damn audit all the time, like
having
you're
a
always going to leave money
chance,
on the table.
Like, right? it's worth it, especially if it's a valid thing.
Yeah.
If
it's
valid,
your
you
money,
shouldn't be
dude.
Worried
it's
about it.
It's your money. If you, do qualify for R&D credits and you want to go amend and get that money, you should. If you do need to carry losses back because they passed that law so you can go back and get that money, you should do it, especially if you need it to keep your business alive, right? And so,
secondly,
you shouldn't fear audits.
If you are fearful of audits, that just means to me that you're not,
you know, that you
weren't
kept up on
something. Exactly. That
shows
that shows me lack of preparation.
Right.
Like you're scared of it because you don't want to go through it because you don't want to have to prove all this stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're working with a good accounting firm, Easier Accounting, all the, your records would be readily available to say, hey,
bankrupt.
Here it
right.
is. Like,
air,
go ahead and freaking audit us. Like,
right.
here's all my P&Ls each month. Here's all the information. Here's why I did the amendment. And all they can do is look at it and say, valid.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if it's all valid shit, you shouldn't be that worried about
it. And it does depend a lot on the auditor that you get. But like, we were all scared when we got audited for our 2013 tax returns. And dude, it was fine. Yeah, they found a few dumb little things that we had to pay on, which was hardly anything.
I think we paid, what, like 11 grand that they wanted from us?
Between
four of us.
It was between,
like a few each. Yeah, and we're talking about them coming through millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the guy that represented us in that audit flat out said, they drove all the way up here for a couple days to go through all these transactions, all your entities, these millions of dollars. They're not going to send somebody home empty-handed.
No, they got to find something to
so he, they said, you guys did an incredible job through this audit with how many entities that we had going, how much money we had flowing from bank accounts, and you know all of that shit, millions of dollars.
Yeah, he quickly understood that we weren't trying to scam him. We weren't trying to do anything dishonest.
It was all there.
You know? So instead of wasting his time, he just moved on to the next person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just so that you know, like it's not as scary as what you think, because if anything, they'll just say, oh, by the way, we won't allow you to take that deduction or this deduction. We just, that falls on a gray area. We're not going to give you that deduction in that area. So they remove it. So if it's a $10,000 deduction and they remove it and you paid a 25% tax, you might walk away owing $2,500. But again, you know, that's, and you don't even have to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to, you could fight them. And say, I'm going to dispute that because that's not true. I believe that is a good expense for my business or whatever it is, right?
Right.
And so don't be fearful of audits, you know. We've been through one prior to owning Easier Accounting.
That's a great story
to be
tell
transparent.
We wrote the content for that topic.
Yeah.
Right?
So
why you shouldn't fear audits, and if you do fear audits, what you've probably done wrong.
Yeah.
And if your accountants talked you out of going back and getting your money, you probably need a
shitty account.
And that's the whole point of the
red
topic, right? We're trying to get people to hire us because we're not that type.
We
support business owners. We don't support the IRS.
Another topic?
Yeah, I have one, and I don't know if this goes with the
it's
tax
about time,
Jerry. Hey, let me chime in here a little bit. One that's benefited me, and this is just personal stuff, you know, is a health savings account. It's a triple tax advantage with the health savings account.
That's
yeah,
good.
You can deduct this year at $7,100, you know. So what you do is if you have a high deductible tax plan, you can set up an HSA. I use Lively. It's just a simple app. You know, I contribute money every month. Mm-hmm. And if we have medical expenses or dental expenses, we just pay with our card. We have maxed it out the last 2 years. So I get
What's
that deduction.
$7,100?
$7,100 this year, $7,000 last year.
Yeah.
So I just contribute each month. And then if you don't end up using that money for those expenses, for medical or dental expenses, you can actually self-direct
cash.
It. You can put it into stocks or whatever you want to trade in, you know.
That's cool.
So,
what about you could fund? Is it like a 401k or something? Or what is it up to, like 50?
55?
Yeah, 50. Solo 401k is SEP IRAs.
So, you know,
that's kind of your end.
We can do a topic on, you know, IRAs or whatever, funding those and how it's tax free.
So end of year, it's something that I've thought about a lot at the end of the year. If I have extra money, you know, just sitting in the bank account, I don't want to pay tax on it. I know you got a lot more than me. But if you got,
I also pay more in tax than you too. Yeah, that's
right. it evens out, right?
Yeah. You got way cooler shit.
I've got another one to add too for PPP, the loan forgiveness. Mm-hmm. There's a follow up on that I think it's 9 months after. We need to talk to Jerry.
We have until June. I talked to Paul at the bank.
June next year?
That would be a great
one. That's a good value to give out in the topics, right? And then it's like, hey, remember the follow up of the PPP?
Here's the deadlines. For loan forgiveness. You need to be doing X, Y, and Z. And put that on your
So at this point, we're just waiting for SBA to get their shit together, basically.
You know? Dude, if you think about it, though, like, if you make $500,000 take home, you pay your kids, you max out the HSA accounts,
do the
solo 401k or the SEP IRAs.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you can defer a lot of money, right? But also, a whole other topic to talk about is, what are the tax rates going to be like in 20 years from now when deferred money actually has to be
That's smart.
Out, right?
Is it worth
like,
deferring?
Is it worth paying on it now and putting it into other investments and engines that are going to make you more money now for the next 20 years? Or is it better to stash, defer to pay higher taxes when you need it in your elder years, right?
Well, if this was November 3rd, we'd have a better idea, at least for the next 4 years.
Exactly. There's Jeremy again politicizing.
I didn't endorse any candidate. Nothing there.
Just say your piece. Say anything political right now. Get it out.
I just fired up after the debates last night. So.
Well, you know.
I mean, they always say, like, there's things that never go down, right? Tax rates never go down and oil prices never go down. But in the last couple of years,
they've gone down.
Prices have gone down in some tax rates. So it could happen again. But that's the kind of stuff that you have to strategize for the future, the unknown, right? Yeah. And that's a good topic to write about, stuff like that.
I honestly don't think it's necessarily telling people to do one thing or another. I think it's just educating them prior to just... Because I think a lot of people take advantage of that solo 401k or SEP IRA or whatever, but they're not thinking long-term when they're doing it. They're just thinking about this year, like how to reduce it this year. And historically, tax rates continue to go up. Like... So you read that book, whatever, Power of Zero, or was that where it was, a Profit First or something like that?
Yeah.
And it talked about, you know, in 30 years, the tax rates might be at 60%.
Right.
So is it beneficial to put $50,000 a year away right now at a lower tax rate at 40% and then take out in 30 years when you're paying 60%? You might be deferring to the point to where you pay an additional 20% on the money that you thought you were saving.
That's why they do... you know, that's why they do preach a lot with good advisors. There's really good plans that you can implement, like that are like whole life insurance that you take out tax free because you put into it with already post tax dollars.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then even the gains are tax free, right? Yeah. You utilize, you know, you're being your own bank, you're taking loans, you're doing all the right things so that you don't pay those taxes. There's horrible stories of people that are pulling out of their pensions and their 401ks now.
Getting murdered,
still
tax
not getting
what?
By because of taxes. They're paying taxes, right? Yeah. Like, and then they pull out Social Security. Their Social Security, it's taxed.
Yeah.
Because their 401ks and all this money coming in is taxable income.
Exactly.
Puts them over the limit, so now they're just being taxed to death.
All over.
And like, there's elderly widows that are like, got 5 years left at my life. Financially, but I might outlive it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And people are living longer.
15 more years. Yeah. Her husband died when she's 60. She might live till she's 80, but they've only got money to go on for 5 more years because they're being taxed.
At least they only have one more mouth to feed, though.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's always a silver lining.
Okay.
Right?
I'm glad you're being positive here.
We got to think positive.
So there's annual planning, dude, and there's lifelong planning.
Yeah, I think balance is key, right? Everyone's situation is different, but balance it out and do what's best for your situation. But I think it's important to start, even open it up, because that paperwork does take some time.
Okay.
I don't know. I've got like 16 topics.
Yeah. So, dude, let's kill the next date, dude. I think we can come up with them all right now on the spot, and then I think we can kill the podcast at that, and we can continue to mastermind, you know, outside of it.
Well, we could map out like kind of the marketing component a little bit. We could map it out on the window, like
we could do a two-part freaking podcast too.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe a different section.
Videos and everything, like. We need to make sure we're hitting all the channels, and then we need to make sure the retargeting, we need to make sure that the email drips and all that are just built, right? Like, and Corey's just managing it. He's already got our framework already built for our email campaigns.
Yeah.
We need to build do we need to build the retargeting, right? We just have to enter the tracking pixels.
The retargeting pixels are already there. Did we get that one pixel added to Easier Accounting that I wanted?
Yep.
Okay, we're pulling
it. So we can assign these topics out.
Is it working?
Yeah, it's falling. It's firing.
Well, are we getting emails and things like that, though, off of it? Like it's supposed to pull information.
It basically tracks people. That is, I've got to look into that a little. It's a little more complicated than he said it was.
Well, we can reach out to him. Again, they're the expert.
No, he's been great. He's been great. It's now me with with taxes and everything. I haven't been able to get into it as much as I want. But
another topic that I love, by the way, sorry to hop on that, what you just covered there about the profit first, the books, reading lists are big. Like to be able to go through and pick and say, if you're a business owner, these are your top.
Maybe, as an entrepreneur, these are great reads.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't all have to be tax stuff. It just needs to be value added.
Exactly.
Right? We want to help business owners.
Yeah.
As long as we're helping them, they're going to want to hire us, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, the guys that follow Real Business Owners, they're not like typical like corporate business owners, you know.
I got some badass chicks, all political here, huh?
Yeah, okay, I wouldn't be a good politician.
No, you'd be terrible, bro.
But so much
ammunition.
If you look at the following for Real Business Owners, I think they're a lot like us, you know, and they relate well to them, you know. So
they're badass. They're chill. They want to win. They want to level up.
At events, I'm like, bro, our firm's built by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs.
Damn straight.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So getting outside of accounting stuff, you know, some of those, the books and personal development, you know, those things will be helpful too. Yeah. I always enjoy it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it could be your takeaway. Yeah, that could be a
whole
books.
Topic. Honestly, that could be how we've changed the game by doing things different than regular accounting firms, right? Like
we're kind of outliers in the industry.
Maybe besides these emails, this is where, like, when we're studying on our own and doing our own personal development, this is where we come up with some additional topics and just write because we want to write, you know, and just add additional emails to those drips.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a really big opportunity for us to all hone in on our writing skills, right? There's a lot of value there. There just is. If we all get a little bit better, and like we were talking about last night, you're going to hit home with certain people.
I wanted to full disclosure.
Okay, here we go. Hey, let Jeremy speak.
You're right though. Like if you look at Trump's ads and the way he writes, they're writing to a seventh grade reading level. Mm-hmm. You have to make it appealing to all and make it very simple and have spaces in between those lines and stuff. Yeah, so it's got to be easy to flow and you know. And so it's just something I learned with copyright. So I won't use those big words anymore.
Hey, yeah, I want to take I want to take our writing and I want to dump them into business.com, Forbes, contributor accounts. Like we've already been approved for those. Just have to pay a little fee. There's some of those things as well, because those actually pull big backlinks and help our organic ranking, which is going to get more people in our funnel. To our retargeting, to our email list, and into our culture here. So I think that those are a couple of channels we need to hit on top of the big Facebook and the Google and the LinkedIn and all that stuff.
We do have a valuable blog, too, that we've been consistently.
These are going to originate.
So if those blogs are getting dumped into business.com and Forbes, I'm going to probably just go ahead and pay the fee for the. That kid keeps hitting me up. He's like, bro, you're all approved. For the Forbes contributor account because I applied and I just have to pay the fee. It's a couple grand is all.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we start dumping all those blogs and these articles and our topics into there because even if like one of them takes off and gets some recognition, that backlink's going to soar and then it's going to direct people to us.
That SEO will definitely help.
We start dropping them in Haro too, dude. Haro? Okay, I'm going to write those down. See, that's a topic we could talk about. I was like, as entrepreneurs, you should be putting an authority. Your writing into these areas.
Yeah,
right?
Become an authority on, Haro is help a reporter out. So you can go to like haro.com. And so there's a lot of different topics and they just go,
It's like, I think it's $20 or $49 a month.
Yeah.
And it will give you backlinks for SEO.
So whatever, it's $50 or whatever under a month. And then, you get to go in there and you get to write articles on topics that you're familiar with. You know, if it talks about, hey, how do you make your restaurant successful? I'm not going to go ahead and write an article in that because I don't own a restaurant, you know. But if it's like, what are top five things that businesses should be worried about? we're entrepreneurs. We understand what business owners worry about. Accounting should be one of the things that they were, you know, and so we can spread in, you know, our message with, you know, easier accounting, but also just giving good other information on top of that, just like we do with RBO, you know, so.
I just checked when we hired Becky to write our blog.
Yeah.
It was July 5th of 16.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of content in.
So the cool thing is this: these emails can go out, and then we transfer them over to the blog. Then we can transfer them over to, you know, Haro or Forbes or business.com. So we're literally taking one piece of content, you know, 30 minutes of my time or Kel's time, Jeremy or Diz's time, and we're now spreading it across, you know, three different areas or four or five different areas, whether it's you know, Haro, business.com, Forbes, our blog, our email list, you know, it just goes on and on and on. So don't just do one piece of work and then just shoot it in one vertical. Try to use that work and spread it out as much as you possibly can so that you can get as much attention as you possibly can off
of
that.
So if I get Corey the logins to our business.com that we already got, so we've got one. Well, we've got one under RBO, but we probably got to set one up under Easier as well.
Yeah.
Set up two different accounts for each one of these channels. You could probably take and organize that, right, to drop this content into each one
and
of
again, those. Going back, we're going to hit this on Trello. Mm-hmm. So we've got, and I'll share those with you guys, and I shared that with you yesterday. So.
Yeah.
Should we go through and pick our topics, or should we just let Corey random them?
How long are we into this podcast?
I think we're around 45, 50 minutes.
I think we've got to be about an hour in, dude.
Oh, good call. Hour and 2 minutes.
Hour and 2 minutes. So I wonder if we should kill the podcast and do a two-part series.
Yeah, we'll just keep rolling. We'll split this.
Yeah, we can do that.
And then do episode 76 as part two of this podcast, because I don't want to, you know, do a two-hour podcast. I mean, I'm not Joe Rogan.
Can we see that in the camera?
Yeah, I'll show this. I'll compile this together.
Well, we can start writing up more stuff over here too.
That's what I'm saying. We can start going to the next step after this. So that's what we'll do. We'll just end today's you know, podcast with what you've received so far in the hour. We understand your guys' time is important throughout the week. You might not have 2 hours just to sit and just listen to it all through, but if you do, you can do that on week 76 and start at 75 and just listen to it all the way through.
I think the value here is, you know, just getting together and masterminding. Look how quick we came up with.
Dude,
you know,
it's been huge so
17
far.
17 topics.
In an hour.
Right.
Yeah. In an hour and 2 minutes, dude. We've
effective
made
time.
A lot of fucking headway. Yeah. You know
now
what
we're
mean?
Going to sign it out. Now we're going to build the infrastructure of how we're going to distribute all the content.
Yes.
And I'm
going to
show you guys
we're going on with the game
cool
plan, you know?
On Trello, because I know you like to dictate, and even when you're doing videos, but...
Are you calling me a dictator?
Yeah. I thought...
I
know you like
delegating.
You know,
that's actually
like
a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point that I want to bring up.
You kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Like, if this a topic's assigned to you and you're struggling writing it yourself, I think it's a great opportunity for us to write. But, like, reach out. If you're doing R&D credits, reach out to Tony Kasai. If you're doing 401ks, reach out to Daniel Bloom.
Yeah.
Hey, can you help me get some content together for this topic, right?
Yeah, that's good.
And they don't have to be huge, long... Like, dude, I know a lot of times when I'm writing stuff, I'm like, I feel like it needs to be longer. No, dude, short is
sweet
too.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And so we can we can bring a lot of value with short topics. But if you are struggling in something, have it outsourced and written. Just get it done and give it to Corey to be able to distribute.
Well, we can track everything in Trello too until it's complete, right?
100%.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's
I set the doc. They're basically like to do and done.
Okay.
Okay.
So each word will have a distinct purpose.
I've never used it.
Okay. And I'll show
what's
again
the chick's name that does. The blogs?
Becky.
Is she on a certain schedule? Like
she just writes once a week.
Just once a week.
Yeah.
So just so you guys know,
we can get her the content
of stuff and it helps your SEO.
Whatever you want to do. But,
so let's end this podcast. Guys, we hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know I did. You know, it's fun to just to sit down and chop it up with you guys. And you know, especially being a beautiful
special
fucking
guest
area
once
like
a year,
you know. Like, it'd be one thing if we were doing this behind a dumpster. It wouldn't be as cool, but we're doing it right fucking on the water, which makes it pretty badass.
We could do it behind a dumpster just to test and see what's
better. Hey, there's trash cans right over here on the side of the house. Let's fucking set up.
Kel's moved on to split testing.
Bad ideas, you know. But anyways, we hope you guys have a kick-ass day. We appreciate you guys supporting us. you know, in all avenues, whether it's real business owners, we appreciate the support on Easier Accounting. A lot of our customers with Easier Accounting come from the podcast,
yeah.
Just full transparency, you know, and we appreciate the shit out of it. Not going to lie, dude. We love you guys.
I love my RBO guys.
Yeah. Like,
they're always the best to talk
you know,
to.
And when we say guys, motivated. We mean genera.
You know, girls group, too.
All the people.
You know, I just freaking hate that you even have to say that anymore. It's like... Speaking to all of you
in general,
you've been corrected on a very short time.
It's bullshit. You know, we love every one of you guys, you know, and that's a group of people if you need to fucking know. So, hey, have a kick-ass day. And next week, you guys are going to hear part two of this podcast. Maybe us finishing up, you know, the last, seven topics or whatever it is.
And mapping it out,
all that good stuff. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. You get an inside look at our brilliant minds. And, you know, how we work together, how we play off of each other, and you know, how we build massive, successful fucking businesses. And so, you know, we want to share that information with you guys and hope you guys are getting value out of it. Kick ass. Have a good day.